I would like to welcome each and everyone here. I have had many thoughts on the Spirit over the past few weeks about how the Spirit helps. I want to talk about something, though, first, to get to the most obvious and most glorious way that the Spirit helps. And to do this, we've got to start in the beginning. Now, I know I start in the beginning a lot of times, and I hope you don't grow tired of it, but it is extremely important that we not forget who we are. In Genesis 2 and 16, God says, "And the Lord God commanded the man," talking about Adam, "saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." This is the law of sin and death. You understand that? First, we've got this law that not only gives the commandment and the transgression of it, but also the punishment of it. You know, many laws we have on the books and of our land, and it says you can't drive faster than 55. If you do, you'll get a speeding ticket. You'll see the blue lights, and if you get caught, the police can't see everything, but God can. Now, I'm going to go pretty fast, maybe, through Romans chapter 7. Hopefully to get to chapter 8. Paul says, and I want to read that verse in chapter 8. He says in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." That law that God gave Adam was the law of sin and death. And everyone that has ever been conceived in this world, all the babies, every person, without exception, except for Christ, there is one exception, has been conceived a sinner. Yes, he's a sinner now. Now, Christ had holy seed in him. He was not conceived in sin. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Got that? But every man has been conceived in sin, and I want you to know that the punishment for breaking this commandment was death. Adam died that day. God said he did. The punishment was immediate. And that death that he experienced on that day that he disobeyed God, which was the real transgression of that law. It was disobeying God. Adam died to the fellowship and understanding that he had with God. He died to that day. He was created a perfect and sinless man, yet made and created corruptible. And when he fell, the law of sin and death passed upon to him. And because it passed to him, it passed to everyone that was conceived and represented by him. That means Cain, Abel, Eve, of course, and all of their generations past them, of which all we are is just great, 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 great grandchildren of Adam. It's all we are. We bear his characteristics of sin. Now, Adam's transgression, we know, brought sin into the world, didn't it? We know that. The Bible tells us that very plainly. But we know it not just by the words on the paper, do we? We know it by our own experience. We know it by the things that we've done. And I want us to realize that one of the biggest, or the biggest, I don't know what you call it, the biggest evidence that we are sinners is because we die. The punishment declares that we are sinners. Do y'all get that? The Bible explains it this way. He says, Adam's was brought by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. He says, and death reigned from Adam to Moses. And all that space of time, all those people died. How did they die? They died because they were sinners. They died because they were seminally represented by Adam. They were his offspring. Death passed to his offspring because he was the original sinner. And he just created a bunch of other little sinners that grew up to be big sinners. So that death, the punishment of transgressing and disobeying God's law, passed from Adam to all his seed. Y'all understand that? This is a fundamental point that we've got to understand, that we are sinners and we deserve death, and we get death because we're represented by Adam. We've got to understand that. None of us were able to, by God's design, none of us were able to sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression. First of all, none of us were created with that choice. None of us were created. We were procreated. Get it? None of us were created by in the same way that Adam was created. We were not created to the same position that Adam was. Adam was created without sin, and we were not. We were formed and conceived in sin. But yet death passed upon all men before God gave His Ten Commandments. Death passed unto all men. How is that possible? It's because all of those men that and women and children that lived and died from Adam all the way to Moses, it's because they had transgressed God's law of sin and death. They disobeyed God in Adam at their core, but also because they are sinners by practice. None of them were born good. They were all born having already transgressed the law of sin and death. Right? They were under that law of sin and death. The punishment was exacted to all those, even though they had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. That sounds unfair, don't it? You know how when you're in class and you tell them, if y'all make a sound, if y'all make one sound, the whole class, if one person makes a sound, the whole class won't get to go out for recess. Y'all teachers and y'all kids, everybody understands that. I understand it. And then there's always this one kid back there, isn't it? He likes to test the waters. And he goes, I love you, teacher. Oh, that sounds good, don't it? It's not a bad transgression. All he did was speak up. That child disobeyed the teacher. And the punishment, if the teacher is true to her word, must keep every child in and not let them go to recess. That's an example of how all of us are transgressors of God's law because one man did it. Adam did it. And all of us die because Adam made us under the law of sin and death. Now, fast forward to Moses. God gave Moses 10 laws, didn't He? We call them the Mosaic Law. Y'all know the Ten Commandments, right? I'm not going to get you to recite all 10 of them, but you know a lot of them, right? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul. Number 2, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not lie. Y'all know, it goes on and on to 10. What are those laws? Those laws are God's expounding on His original law of don't disobey me. God started off with 1. And He further clarified that 1 by giving them 10. And then God set up the priesthood, didn't He? And the priesthood that He set up, He gave them laws. And those laws that He gave them was all about how to worship. Not only did He give them laws about how to worship, He told them exactly how you're supposed to worship. He said, and you can't just sacrifice anything. He got so specific with it, He said, you offer this kind of sacrifice on this day and for this sin, and you offer this kind of sacrifice for this sin. I mean, certain sins had certain sacrifices that they had to do to make it right in their own mind. God told them to do that. God got so specific with it, and then He gave them civil laws. And He says, look, if you've got, He says, he even got so explicit and specific with it that He told them where to and where not to plant trees. Did y'all know that? He says, don't you plant trees close to my sanctuary. No grove of trees around my sanctuary. Don't you plant that stuff. Why? Is because it seems to be where the groves of trees were where people liked to gather for worshiping pagan gods. God said, I'll not have that in my house or even close to my house. God got so specific with His laws that He even told them exactly how they were supposed to deal with sores on their body. And He got so specific with it was He said, if there's a hair in that sore and that hair is black, and He gave them some instructions if the hair was black. And then He gave them some instructions and laws about if the hair was white in it. If they touched something, they were unclean. I mean, God further expounded on this law of sin and death, didn't He? All of it was disobeying me. Not me, but Him. All of it falls under the heading of the law of sin and death. You disobey me and you die. And it got to the point where it was so bad, I can imagine being under the law, an Israelite under the law, and you had to walk on eggshells around God, because if you messed up one time, you were out. You commit adultery, you're stoned. You disobey your parents, you're stoned. You kill a man by premeditation, you're stoned. I'm not talking about picking up little rocks now. I'm talking about ones that it takes two hands to hold. And they didn't just hit you with one of them. They did it until you were dead. That's physical. But God said, if you disobey me, you're under the law of sin and death. And they got to the point where, at least the Pharisees did, they got to the point over time where they thought that they were keeping the law. They thought that the law was an outward thing to keep. And Paul got so heady and high-minded in his own keeping of it, he says of himself in Philippians chapter 3, he described how good he was and said He said, as touching the law, I was blameless. Paul describes this in Romans 7 so strongly. He says in Romans 7, he says, for in verse 9, for I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. That's a short way of saying, Paul was going about his merry way in his own conceited, in his own mind, thinking that he was obeying God, disobeying him all the time. His disobedience was not apparent to him. His sins were not apparent to him. He thought he stood aloof from everyone else and said, "I'm alive." When on the inside, he understood the law to be an outward thing and not a spiritual thing, not an inward thing. He did not think that he was disobeying God until God showed him that he was disobeying God. And that's what Paul means when he says that when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Because all that God's commandment does, and that commandment was him sending his spirit into his heart and showing him his sinfulness. And that's why Paul could say, "Oh, I'm the chief of sinners," instead of the chief godly man. You know, before he says, "I am the chief godly man. I'm the best of the best, the cream of the crop, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Circumcised, born of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day." He says, "Of all the Israelites, I was the Israelite." Paul says, "I was the one that everybody looked to. I was the Israelite idol." Instead of American Idol. You know how we look up to, or some people look up to people in America as an idol. Paul says, "I was the Israelite idol. I was the Pharisees' idol. I was the one that they were to pattern their life after," is what Paul's saying in that. But Paul says, "When God talked to me and showed me my sinfulness, sin revived and I died." Because you know what happened? God took that cloak of conceit off of him by bringing the Spirit, sending the Spirit to him. And you know, at that moment when God did that, God struck Paul down on the road to Damascus. And do you know what Paul's first conversation with God was? It wasn't, "What'd you do that to me for? I'm so good." No, Paul says, "Who art thou, Lord? And what would you have me to do?" So he recognized him in the position of Lord over his life, and him as a servant, and all of God's children that have had this experience should realize that they're in a servant's place and that he stands in the master's place. Paul says, "Sin revived and I died." What did he die to? That part that he used to love, he now hated. Paul was a new creature there. He was a new creation there, wasn't he? Paul goes on to describe the struggle that only the child of God has. Only the person that has had the commandment come to them where sin has been revived in their life. By having the light shed on it. See, before that, Paul was in darkness. And he thought he was in the light, but he was in the darkness. But when God shone the light on him, it made him realize how big of a sinner he was. Paul describes this struggle all through chapter 7. He relates his experience with God's law. He says, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." You know, Paul knew God's law in his head, didn't he? You can't be a Pharisee of the Pharisees and not know it. He knew God's law in the head. In his head, he thought he was keeping it. Paul keeps on he thought himself was alive. Paul, after that commandment came, that's when Paul's struggle began. Have you ever struggled? Paul described this struggle down here when he says in verse 19. He talked about the heavy weight of this law. And he says, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would do, which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." You know what Paul's saying there? Paul's saying, I want to do good, but I don't do it. I don't want to do bad, but I do it. That Paul, that is a struggle of the only the child of God has. Have you ever done that? Has that ever been a struggle for you? Has that ever reared its ugly head in your life? Has sin by the commandment ever slew you? It slew me. You know what slew means, right? That means that you're slain by it. What does slain mean? It means it's just like you take out a sword and you hack somebody to death. Has your sinfulness ever made you just want to crawl up and die? It has me. Paul keeps going with this. He says, all of God's children want to do better, don't they? But they don't. That's what that means. All of God's children know that they're doing wrong, but they do it anyway. They want to do better, but they don't. They want to stop sinning, but they can't. That's the struggle. And Paul keeps going down through here, and he keeps relating the struggle from his own experience. And at the very end of this chapter, he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I tell you, have you ever got to that part where you can call yourself wretched and vile? Have you ever got to that point? If you haven't, you need to. You need to realize what you are by your birth. You need to realize that you are a sinner that has broken every law that God gave. Because really, He only gave one. Said, don't disobey me. You were born disobedient. And yet, you continue to be disobedient. Because you're a sinner. Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's a question. Have you ever been in something that you would give your right arm for to get out of? Paul would have probably given more than that. Actually, Paul says that I could wish myself accursed for my brethren, my kinsmen in the flesh's sake. Paul says, I could wish that I was banished from God so that they would know what I know. But that's not possible. That's not possible. What would you give to get out of your situation? I got news for you. There is nothing you have that would satisfy God to get you out. Paul asked that question, O wretched man that I am. after his declaration of that. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Paul answered. You know, Paul asked a lot of questions in the scriptures that he didn't ask because he didn't know the answer. He asked it because he did, for instructing you and I and the churches and the ministers. Sometimes we do that. We ask questions that we know the answer to for to help other people understand, right? Because they got the same questions too. Have you ever asked that question? Who's going to deliver me from this sinfulness that I've got? Paul answered it. He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." You notice how there he called it the law of God. Now, then he starts, well, we put chapter breaks in here. Paul didn't. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Paul comforts those who are in this struggle, don't he? He takes the struggle and he relates it, because every child of God has struggled just like Paul, whether they realized it or not. And Paul says that in them that there is no condemnation. There are only two laws, folks. There are only two laws. There's the law of sin and death, and the law of the Spirit of life. I want you to remember that by one transgression, the punishment was death. That's Adam's transgression, and the punishment was death. I want you to realize too that by the obedience of one, there's life as the gift. Y'all get that? He says that the first transgression of God's law only brought sin and death. The first obedience of God's law brought the Spirit of life. Now I want us to think about this, because we've got two opposing things happening here. We've got the Spirit of death and the Spirit of life. God's law, I mean the Spirit of life, and the obedience of Christ superseded the transgression of Adam. Amen. Y'all got that? What Adam did could not disannul what Christ did. Christ superseded Adam. Boy, I can't even tell you how superabounding God's grace is over sin. Now, he says that I want to make this clear and give some examples. Do y'all know that a king, when he is in his reign, that king can make a decree and make a law, and it is in effect while he's alive, and even after he's alive? Do y'all know that? Because the king that succeeds him might not like that king and might not like some of the things that he did, but he can't change that law. He can make a law that trumps it or supersedes it or is higher than it, but he can't make it void or in... He can render it ineffective by his law, but he can't make that under law go away. Now, I got a question. I got another thing. Now look, in our laws of the land, y'all know we've got city court, county court, state court, circuit court, Supreme Court. We've got a hierarchy, don't we? Now, if you if you have a suit brought against you, a case brought against you, and the state court finds you guilty and you don't like it, you can appeal to the circuit court of appeals, right? And they can give their decision, and if you still don't like it, you can appeal to the Supreme Court, and if they want to hear it, they'll hear it, but you got to understand, whatever that Supreme Court says is the final word. It's the highest decision in the highest court of our system. Y'all understand that, right? So what happens in the state court can be overruled by the Supreme Court. Laws in certain states are still in effect, but they don't supersede the law of the land of the high court. Y'all understand that? So how in the world do we still die? Why do we still die if Jesus came and conquered death? Why do we still die? It's because we're still under the law of sin and death. But I got good news for you. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made you free from the law of sin and death. You like that, don't you? I do. I tell you something else I like. Have you ever been convicted of a crime, no matter how small? Have you ever been convicted of a crime? I mean, speeding tickets and all that. Amen, I have. I've been committed of crimes against my natural father. And I received the punishment for that. I received the punishment of disobeying my father when he whooped me up really bad. And it hurt. In our penal system, our justice system, the law condemns a man to serve 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, based on the crime, right? He's sentenced to that, and the punishment begins. After he has served his time, now our penal system is a lot more lenient than God's penal system is. Because God don't let you off for good behavior. If he tells you that you're going to serve 70 years in captivity, you're not going to serve 69 and a half. You're going to serve every second of that thing. In our system, the man is convicted, he's sentenced, and his punishment begins, and his time is served, and what happens to him after that? He's set free, isn't he? And they can't judge him, they can't put him and make him be punished for that same crime twice. Can't be punished for that same crime twice. Y'all got it? Unless it does something else. If it does something else, he's going to be sentenced and punished for that. That's why we still die. Because we are serving the punishment of breaking the law of sin and death by disobeying God, and that's why we still die, because the wages of sin is death. And because we still that, but I want to say this, we're only going to be punished for that once, not twice. Why are we not going to be punished for it twice? Because Jesus because the law of the Spirit of life hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And I want you to know that if you've been represented by Christ in God's court, you'll never be tried for that same thing. And you will not be convicted and tried and sentenced to a second death. But some will. How are they? How are they? How in the world are they going to be tried and sentenced to a second death? It's because they were not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They are not covered by the efficacious blood of Jesus Christ. They have no mediator. They have no lawyer to stand in their place. That's why they die the second death. But death hath no dominion over you. It's going to bother you once. It's not going to bother you no more. And did you know this? You've got the law of the Spirit of life in you right now. Paul says, that's Paul. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ, and there's no condemnation now to them who are positionally in Christ Jesus. How'd you get in Christ Jesus? He put you in Him because He put His Spirit in you. He put you in Him from before the foundation of the world. And He made it known to you when He put His Spirit into you. And if His Spirit is in you, you're in Him. That's an evidence because you've got life in you. What's the evidence that you have transgressed God's law? It's death. What's the evidence that Jesus is yours? That you're Jesus's? What evidence do you have of heaven? It's because you have the Spirit of life in you. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. And yet we're still under it. But it supersedes God's law. Jesus Christ supersedes every other law that man has. Or ever will make, or ever will transgress, Jesus supersedes it. The law of the Spirit of life supersedes the law of sin and death every time, for all time. I tell you what, that's good stuff to me. That's good news to me. It ought to be good news to you. I tell you what, I feel like shouting right now because God's more powerful than me. His power to heal is more powerful than my wounds. His power to save is much more powerful than my ability to sin. Jesus is more excellent than me on all accounts. Praise be to His name today. May God bless you is my prayer. Those that have a mind to join the church and worship Him this way, every Sunday, you can come on down and the church will gladly wait on you and hear your testimony. May God bless us this week to live after the law of the Spirit of life. Amen.